You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back into the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. I am your co-host, Brian Brown, running the show today as our good friend, our fearless leader, the hostess with the mostest, Cindy Robinson, is busy handling draft duties for her alternative job. So I'm stepping in to solo host this one today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. We like you. We love you. Happy to have you along for the ride today. We still have plenty to talk about this week as Pac-12 Media Days, so much happening there, so much to unfold still. So we're going to jump right into that right now. We're going to cover some of the comments from Jackson Kirkland and defensive back Trent McDuffie as they sat down in the general media scrum to talk with everybody. This first question is referring to watching the Pac-12 championship last game, knowing that that was a game that they were supposed to play in. So we'll get to that right now.
For both of you guys, did you watch the Pac-12 title game? What was it like not being able to play in those circumstances?
Yeah, I watched like the first half, then I got pretty upset and I turned it off and was pretty motivated after that. We felt like that was our game, so kind of coming back this year to take back what's ours.
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly didn't watch it just because I was not interested in it, but I've looked back and watched it a lot on film and seen the things they do, so I mean, it's definitely something that has put an edge on our shoulder and kind of motivated us for the next season.
It's always intense between you guys and Oregon, but do you expect like an added intensity or pressure when you guys finally get to play them this year?
I mean, I feel like we approach every week kind of the same mentality, not looking over anybody. And I mean, I think rivalry just adds the excitement. You know, I don't think it's a bigger game in a sense, but it's more just fun and the fans really like to get into it, which makes it even more fun.
Interesting answers from both of those players, from Jackson and Trent, in kind of an offset attitude, I think, from both. Jackson up first talking about how he watched the first half and it really upset him. Trent talking about he didn't really even bother watching it. He only watched the film as part of his study and everything like that. I thought that was a really fascinating juxtaposition, and I think it really encapsulates how bizarre last year was, right? Because you could get frustrated, but not for a very long time, as Jackson kind of lamented. But also, as Trent pointed out, there really wasn't a whole lot to do other than just trying to learn what you can from the whole experience and move on. So really insightful, I thought, commentary from both of them there. But you can tell that there is that lingering sense of we should have been there. And I think in general with athletes, especially with football players and football coaches, there is always this sense of you have a harder time remembering the wins and a harder time forgetting the losses. And what I mean by that is it's so much more difficult to put those losses behind you and just move on. You know, Trent McDuffie has to have that mindset as a corner, right? He's a defensive back, and so he is constantly in this state of having to put things behind him, be a goldfish, so to speak, and have that 10-second memory, just move on. And whereas Jackson Kirkland, who is a guy, a phenomenal offensive lineman, you can tell that he still feels that, like that was their opportunity, that was their chance. And they talk a little bit more about how that kind of leaves them with a little bit of a chip on the shoulder now. And, you know, you have to assume that for them, this season becomes a little bit more about retribution. And they spoke about that in general, in the second half of that, in terms of facing off against Oregon. But to follow up on that, our very own Cindy Robinson asked them, you know, how do you approach this season when you have one of the more easier schedules in the Pac-12? And this is what they had to say.
Looking at your schedule, and I'm not going to downplay anybody, but you guys seem to have a more relaxed schedule than some other Pac-12 opponents. Do you guys look at it that way, and it, does it make you feel more confident going into each game, or are you keeping everybody at a certain standard regardless?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we can't look over anybody, because as soon as you do that, that's when upsets happen and things don't play in your favor. So, I mean, we've set a standard very high for ourselves, and we plan on keeping that standard.
Cindy and I talked about this a little bit on the podcast the other day, but this speaks a little bit to just how much talent there is in the conference and how much all these teams are starting to really respect each other. The parity of the conference does not always seem from the outside to be a benefit, but I think for everybody who's playing in it, and maybe a little bit of this is the lake effect. Out here in Utah, we get heavy snow showers because those storms roll over the Great Salt Lake and gather up all this moisture, and they dump this heavy, wet snow that's super good for skiing and super terrible to shovel. Most of you don't have to deal with that in the Pac-12 footprint, so lucky you. But this is the Washington version of the lake effect, where you can tell that Jimmy Lake's mindset has started to really saturate with these guys, and they've been through it for a year now. Jimmy talked about how the variety of schemes and the variety of difference in program in the Pac-12 is what really makes it interesting. And these teams, these programs, these players are buying into that mindset. And if they're buying into the mindset there, I think they're also buying into a lot of the other mindsets that Jimmy Lake is selling. And so you have to assume that this is a team that is starting to come together strongly. They're starting to really believe in one another and believe in their purpose, which is to win a Pac-12 championship. And while Oregon is picked to win the Pac-12, I think that this gives Washington maybe that extra little bit of motivation that they might need in order to get over the hump and possibly win the Pac-12 North. I think if that's the case, they're likely the favorite to win the conference in that respect, as the North is just a little bit less brutal than the South this year. But one of the main issues that they have gone through in the offseason, as every team has experienced issues without a doubt, was an exodus from the wide receiver position through the transfer portal. That's a group that they're focused on from the outside, especially with media and the departures being the big story there. The question is, what remains and how much improvement have they made since all the transfers exiting the program? And Trent McDuffie had really excellent response to that, as he is obviously going up against them every single day in practice, and this is what he had to say.
One of the biggest concerns is the wide receiver. You face them a lot, and they really need to step up. Can you talk a little bit about those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think even Jackson could contribute to this, that they've made a huge jump in this past spring ball and this past summer. I think the culture of the wide receiver room and the confidence that I can see in them now is I haven't seen personally at UW yet, and I think it comes from leadership in the UW receiver room. I think it's guys like Jackson who are constantly on them. I think it's Coach Junior Adams who've done a good job at morphing them into receivers and kind of just establishing their own standard, kind of how we talk about the DB standard and holding everybody accountable to it. I think Coach Adams and the guys in the receiver room have been there and done a good job of doing that.
Roman Dunn's such a big guy. How tough is he?
He's a dog. That man is going to be a playmaker. He has great hands. He's super tall, athletic, and I think he's going to make a lot of plays on Saturdays.
Plenty more available to take from those interviews. It was really exciting to have Cindy there, as she could get all that sound in person and get a vibe for what the players were saying, and plenty of other conversations discussing NIL, you know, what kind of classes they're taking, what drew them to Washington, all sorts of different conversation going on around there. That's going to wrap up this segment of the show for today. And this is a perfect time to remind you that you need to wrap up all those repairs that your car is waiting on right now. And there's no better way to do that than going to RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Don't go in there, endure the grumpy behind-the-counter guy that knows nothing, or woman that knows nothing about your automobile, when you can go to RockAuto.com, save time and money while using RockAuto.com. They are 30, 50, sometimes even 100% less expensive than your local auto parts store. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That is rockauto.com. Coming back at you here again on the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. My name is Brian Brown. I'm the co-host. Filling in today is Cindy is busy handling NBA draft duties. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on the other side of the planet. That is right. The USA is competing in the Olympics and we're all cheering on the red, white, and blue. Except for those of us in the Pac-12 footprint, because we have a slew of athletes from around the world competing right now in the Olympic Games. The current medal update as it stands. Individual medal count for the Pac-12 is at 36. That is 4 gold medals, 20 silver, and 12 bronze. That is an impressive amount of medaling for a single conference. It ties with the USA as of July 29th at 9 a.m. with 38 medals. So currently the Pac-12 and United States of America tied for the most medals in the Olympics, which is awesome and incredible and a real reflection of why we call it the Conference of Champions. Tip of the cap to you, our official mascot, Mr. Walton. Some of the medal winners, we'll just go through the list real quick. Rosemary Papa from Cal for rowing gets a gold medal, I believe. Yes, gold medal. Kelsey Plum, one of my favorites, former UW superstar, basketball player extraordinaire, probably has the best throwing arm of just about anybody I've ever seen. Gets a gold medal for the 3-on-3 tournament. Huge shout out to the Las Vegas Aces star, Kelsey Plum, on that one. You got a big fan back here on the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. Both Cindy and I are big fans. Although you guys know Cindy, anything that has to do with Washington, it comes with complications. Katie Ledecky, of course, the great one from Stanford, came home with a few different medals already, has a gold medal in the 1500 free, silver in the 400 free, and then a silver in the 4x200 relay. Flora Duffy from Colorado, triathlon gold medal, very impressive feat for the triathlete from Colorado. Delaney Spalding, UCLA, gets the silver medal in softball with the American team. Reagan Smith at Stanford, swimming, a silver medal in the 200 fly and a bronze medal in the 100 meter back. She comes obviously from Stanford, a swimming powerhouse right there with Cal. Delaney Schnell, diving, gets a silver medal in the 10 meter synchronized. Allison Schmidt from Arizona State, another set of medals for swimming. She gets the 4x200 free relay and the 4x100 free relay. Taylor Ruck, the Canadian that comes from Stanford, gets the silver medal in swimming for the 4x100 free relay. Janie Reed, softball, Bubba Nichols, Deja Malipola, all getting the silver medal for the women's softball team. Janie from Oregon, Bubba from UCLA, and Deja from Arizona. Katie McLaughlin at Cal with a silver medal in the 4x200 relay. Grace McCallum, Ute gymnastics superstar, will be coming to the University of Utah in the fall, gets a silver medal for the women's team in gymnastics. Adrienne Lyle, equestrian, with a silver for dressage team. I didn't even know that there was an equestrian team at Washington State, but that's why we do this. That's why we learn all about it. Rachel Garcia, another one for softball from UCLA. Brooke Forty, and if that name sounds familiar, it's because her father is Pat Forty, the esteemed college football writer. And I think anybody who's followed Pat or has read his writings or anything like that understands how much he's invested in it. Great to see her earn a silver medal in the 4x200 relay. Santo Condorelli from the Italian from Southern Cal gets a silver medal in the men's 4x100 relay. Jordan Childs, the gymnastics monster from UCLA, gets the silver for the women's team. Ali Carta, another softballer from UCLA. Valerie Arioto from Cal also gets the silver. And then Ali Aguilar from Washington, another silver medalist as well in softball. Abby Wietzel and, from Cal gets the bronze in the 4x100 free relay for the men. Oh boy, there's a lot on here. Jen Salling, obviously 37 medals. Jen Salling gets the bronze in a softball for the Canadian team. Ryan Murphy, 100 back, 200 back for men's swimming, gets bronze in the 100 back, competed in both those events. Danielle Laurie, Victoria Hayward from Canada via Washington, also getting those bronze medals. A lot of these medals coming through softball, swimming seems to be the big ones. Jack Cleary from Cal got a bronze medal in the quadruple sculls. He is from Great Britain via Cal. Congratulations to him. And Hallie Fleekinger from Arizona State gets two bronze medals, one in the 200-meter fly, the other in the 400 IM for women's swimming. Congratulations to her. We'll try and keep that updated as much as possible, just when we can check in, when we have time. But a great showing again for the Pac-12 and the Conference of Champions there at the Olympics, again, as they are tied with the USA for the lead in the medals count. And that's why we tell you to go to betonline.ag, because we know that you can win some money by betting on these Olympics, by finding some ways to have some fun while watching the events, get a little extra cheering if you need to, a little extra reason to cheer, because BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is still in full swing. We have MMA. We have NBA draft going on currently. Soon we'll be starting up with college football. The future's available. Obviously, Olympics going on right now. So before the next event, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game and get registered. You can go to that website either using your mobile device, your laptop, whatever it is. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, for a 50% bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Wrapping things up here on the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, as we finish the show, just a little bit about what is happening today in the NBA draft. Plenty of Pac-12 players are candidates to be drafted in the first two rounds of the NBA draft. It should be an exciting time for a multitude of players. Some of the top names that really will be looking forward to finding out about: Evan Mobley, obviously the biggest name of all. He should be going within the top three picks. I've seen most mocks have him either second or third. Expect to hear his name called early. Tune in to the Locked On NBA Draft TV show, and you can see myself and Cindy giving all sorts of breakdowns on everybody who's about to be drafted. Some other names that we should hear at some point during the show: Chris Duarte from Oregon. He was named the Associated Press Pac-12 Player of the Year. Duarte is a sweet shooting wing. He is a talented basketball player, comes here from the Dominican Republic, an older player. He is 24 years old. A lot of that is just simply because he was never taught English. That's the bottom line. He got held back for a year in school as he tried to acclimate and learn to speak English better. But Duarte is going to be a plus teammate, a plus player for whatever team drafts him. His expectation is to be a lottery pick. We'll wait and see what happens with that. Should be interesting for sure. Another name likely to go in the first round, Zaire Williams from Stanford. He is a one-and-done player, a tall, lanky wing, a very talented player that was very inconsistent throughout the season, had some very strong, bright moments, but, you know, with COVID and the acclimation process and everything that was going on with Stanford during the basketball season, it seemed like he really struggled to find stability and everything like that. Can't really blame a kid for that at all. It is a super difficult process to go through. And I think that will not affect his draft stock nearly as much, because he was such a talented player in high school, and in every opportunity since then, he's done such a good job to show out. He has great potential to be a playmaker, to be a good scorer, decent shooter. So it'll be exciting to see where he goes. More than likely a first round draft pick there. Some other players that we might see their names get called: Stanford's Oscar De Silva, Arizona State's Josh Christopher, Colorado's McKinley Wright the fourth, Oregon's Eugene Omorui. Again, continuing our tradition of just butchering names here on the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. USC's Taj Eady, UCLA's Chris Smith, Oregon State's Ethan Thompson, and that pretty much should wrap things up for any potential Pac-12 candidates to be drafted. Should be a good night, though, for the conference overall, as there is the expectation that at least three players will go in the first round. We'll wait and see if anybody else hears their name called. And if there are any names called in the NBA draft, you're going to hear all about it from Cindy tomorrow. She'll do a full breakdown of the NBA draft with all the experts and analysis that you'll need. I have the anticipation that it might be a little bit of a crazy draft, depending on who gets traded. The rumors swirling around early on seem to make it out to be that a lot of teams will be making moves. I think that does leave the door open for a lot of these Pac-12 players to possibly get drafted earlier or maybe get drafted later, depending on who makes a move to where and who really covets who. I do think that Duarte, Mobley, and Zaire Williams are all very desirable NBA rotation players. I think Duarte can be the kind of anchor for a championship team that a lot of teams are looking for. A real hustle-oriented guy. He plays hard every single play, every single night. And so he should be a draft steal for some team, I think, that's going to get a more complete player, more ready to go. His ceiling maybe not quite as high, but that's where Zaire Williams, I think, carries the slack. He has a very high ceiling, a lot of athleticism there for him. So it should be exciting to see what happens with that. And again, we'll keep you posted for all that here on the Locked On Pac-12 podcast. That's going to do it for me. You can follow Cindy at @_CindyRobinson on Twitter. Follow myself at @BrownBearSLC. Follow at @LO_Pac-12 for the Locked On Pac-12 Twitter account. As always, if you have questions or suggestions or something that you want to hear us discuss, feel free to let us know via Twitter or any other way. You can reach out to me directly at LockedOnNewtz@gmail.com is the email address. I don't know if the Locked On Pac-12 show has a Gmail yet, but we'll get to work on that. Always love interacting with everybody. Love hearing what our fans want to hear more of. So be sure to tune in tomorrow for Cindy's breakdown of what the Pac-12 draft was like and whatever else we can come up with along the way. There's always big news happening here in the Conference of Champions. So we'll talk to you again tomorrow. This has been the Locked On Pac-12 podcast for July 29th, 2021.